Are you ready to rumble? Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society. That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society. How are you doing?
Good. Also, I remembered what I did yesterday.
Oh.
I hung up a bunch of shit on my walls
that nice.
I haven't hung up ever.
Hell yeah. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Like mostly stuff from Oma.
Aw. You have a new gallery wall situation station or what?
We rearranged it because we got some prints online.
Nice.
And, well, we're still missing one though because we haven't been able to find a frame for it. So we're just going to buy it online because we went to a couple different thrift stores and I haven't found a frame for it. Or I have this other print that I got at a market a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's just like sticky tacked to the wall.
Mm.
And I want to put it in a frame.
Yeah.
But the dimensions are 8 1/4
mm-hmm.
by 13 3/4.
Ugh, that's so annoying. Like,
what the fuck?
That's so annoying.
Like, huh?
Yeah, I don't even, that's not even close. Like, the next standard one would be like 10 by 14?
I think so.
Yeah.
So
that's really annoying. Unless you cut it, but I guess you'd have to cut quite a bit.
Yeah, and it would look lopsided. Anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, now I have to buy a big ass frame for this thing.
Damn.
Figure that out.
You just reminded me that I want to put that picture in a frame.
Oh yeah.
My wheel of the sun. Wait, wheel of the year.
Yeah.
Which, true. The sun is... yeah, related.
The sun is the year.
The sun is the year. That's what I was going to say. And then I was like, no, but like, yes, it actually is the year.
Yeah. So that's what I did yesterday. And I wanted to, you know, that mirror that I've had since I literally moved here?
Yes.
I was finally going to hang it up.
What?
And then I was like, oh, drill's dead. So I plugged the battery in for the drill. It's just flashing at me. So the battery's like dead.
No, like it's supposed to flash when it charges.
Not like that. I looked it up.
Oh, like it was like partying.
It was just like flashing, which means the battery is bad.
No.
So what? Then I was like,
what's your drill?
It's just a Black & Decker.
Oh.
Cheapy poo poo. Anyway. So then I was like, oh, Taylor has a drill. And he had left yesterday at like 7:30 in the morning. And I was like, where the fuck are you going? Anyway, I was like sleeping. I was like, what time is it? And then he just didn't come home.
Oh.
And
wait, is he okay?
Yeah, he came home this morning.
Oh. Oh.
Just wanted to hang up my mirror. Like, the woods at one day, I'm like, I'm going to hang up all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hang up my mirror.
Damn, you should have came and grabbed my drill. I also wasn't home, actually, until later.
I forgot. Anyway, it's fine. We'll do it. I'll try to get... I want to do it tonight because I have to wait till Montana wakes up. But I'm going to the pool with the girls.
Fun.
Yeah.
Guess what? Bristol is trying out a new job tomorrow.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm. And he has to get up at 2 a.m.
Is it a bakery?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
fun. And he has to be there at 3 a.m.
So is it like 3 to 12 or something?
Yeah, it's like 3 to 10 or 11. Well, actually, I don't actually know because it's just a training shift.
Oh.
But.
Oh, it is that one? Nice.
Yeah, so he has to go to bed at like 6 p.m. And I don't know how he's going to do that, but we woke up earlier today. We were up at 6.
Oh.
To try to like, trying to adjust, but like... the difference between 2 and 6 a.m. is quite the difference.
Yeah.
Even between like 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
I mean, Montana goes to bed at 7:30 in the morning. After work.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, just trying to do that. And I read like 3.5 books
this week. Just, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Wait, are you still crocheting?
No.
Oh. Have you thought about doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many things going on. I can't add crafting into it.
That's fair. That's fair. And that's why I don't really read books. Yeah. I read graphic novels. But
see, yeah, it's like one or the other, really. I don't have time for both crafting and reading.
Unless you're doing audiobooks.
Yeah, but I'm not.
You like physical books. I have
so many books on my bookshelf. Yeah, I read 3.5 books because I was home, so I just read all the time.
That's great.
That's all I did all read week.
170 graphic novels in 2024.
Whoa.
Isn't that amazing?
Nice.
Maybe, like, I guess we could subtract, like, maybe 5 to 10 of those, because some of them I read, like, the first little bit, and I was like, I don't like this. But not many. It's like, very once in a while.
Yeah.
Or I would accidentally, like, download, because I'm using the Libby app, would accidentally download a non-graphic novel and then be like, oh, shit.
Oh.
But yeah, I was really proud of myself because that's, like, way more than I've ever read in a given period of time.
Nice. I read 37 books last year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's, like, three a month. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know, but I've already read 8 books this year.
Wow. So. Now you're 4 a month.
I know. Well,
that's only halfway through February. Oh, did you have a nice Valentine's Day?
Yeah. What did we do? We got up and had waffles. Montana went and got me some flowers. I said, I don't need flowers. They're so expensive. And he said, I want to buy flowers. Oh, okay.
Cute.
And then we hung out all day and I read and he played video games. Classic. That's what we do every weekend.
Love it.
And then we went to dinner at 9:30.
P.M.?
Yes.
Oh my
god. To Zambri's.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how was that?
It's so delicious. But they were out of focaccia and pizza.
Oh.
And we really wanted to try the focaccia and pizza.
So what did you get?
So we got... They had, like, a Valentine's antipasto. Mm-hmm.
Pasto, yeah.
Yeah, antipasto. So it was baked oysters, salami, prosciutto, cheese. I forget what kind of cheese. Burrata, maybe?
Damn.
And some pickled vegetables. So it was like a little charcuterie board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you were right. Antipasto. Right. Yeah, so it's literally just a charcuterie board.
Yeah, so that's what we had. Well, antipasto is like your...
traditional first course of a formal Italian meal.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's what we had. And then we had carbonara.
So
good. It was really good. It was very delicious. And then we had some chocolate cake.
Wow.
But it was like fudgy cake. It was not like
like brownie kind of
yeah. And we had wine and then we were kind of drunk.
Yeah.
And then we took the bus home and we got home at like 11.
That's great. Wow, you did a lot in 2 hours. You ate a lot of food.
Yeah.
That's
it seems amazing. Like a lot, but it wasn't a lot. No. Because it was actually like proper size
portions.
That's so the word.
Tiny.
But, like, filling.
Mm, that's great.
Yeah.
Yay!
And it was super expensive, so we're not going to go there again for a while.
We got a bunch of charcuterie items. Uh-huh. Well, just, like, meats and cheeses.
Classic.
And then we ate those with a baguette. And then we drank our fancy bottle of wine that our landlords gave to us, like, last year.
Oh, that's nice.
And then we played Stardew Valley.
Nice.
Yeah, it was actually great.
That's it was so really fun.
Yep.
Listen.
Look.
You don't have to do Valentine's things. We usually don't. We usually stay home and eat candy and chips and And I said, I want to go to dinner.
It's kind of overrated most of the time. I'm glad I wasn't out and about in the chaos that is Valentine's in the city.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that we just did something at home.
Yeah.
But I do, like, well, I baked a bunch of sugar cookies and put icing on them, and I brought them into my cohort.
Oh, that's nice.
Did I show you?
No.
I'm going to show you a picture.
That's cute. I know at my work, because I wasn't there Friday, they had waffles, I think, and they got, like, I think we all got a little Valentine's gift baggie with some candy and stuff in it. Oh, they're so cute.
I know.
Nice.
I know.
Good job.
That's really cute. Whoa. And then your baggie story that you were just talking about reminded me that we have a professor at UVic that teaches a couple of our courses. Shout out Cindy Brown. She's like the best human in the whole fucking world. She's amazing. Yeah. And she makes us all like individual baggies for every single holiday.
Aww.
And for our Valentine's baggies, she even gave us like those little Valentines.
Aww.
And she put all of our names on them. There's 60 of us.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, like it was actually so cute. And everyone loved the cookies too. It was really sweet.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. We all hope that everyone had a really fun Valentine's. And if you didn't, don't worry because it's overrated anyway.
Yeah.
And so, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
What are we doing today? Is it ghosts?
I'm not going to tell you until we're, like, in the story, because I want you to try to guess. You're going to know, like, as soon as you know, you're going to know, and you know the story.
Okay, set the scene, as Kate Winkler Dawson would say.
Okay, let's set the scene. Okay. Yeah, shout out Buried Bones podcast.
Yeah.
Shout out everyone that we love. Shout out Morbid. Shout out Two Girls, One Ghost. Shout out MFM. Shout out Buried Bones. Ooh, shout out Case Files.
True North True Crime.
Shout out True North True Crime. Those are our faves. So if you're sick of listening to our voices like we are, then get out there and try some other
this
ones.
This little indie podcast sucks.
Yeah.
Go listen to one of the big guns.
Yeah. Okay. So. I don't know why I feel nervous. Why do I feel nervous?
I don't know.
Okay, I won't quit my day job that I don't have. In the summer of 1906, Charles Henry Warren and his family were on their usual vacation in Oyster Bay, a hamlet on Long Island, New York. Every year, they stayed at the same summer home, which was rented out to multiple families for rest and relaxation over the hot and humid summer months. The family was enjoying their time hanging out at the beach and swimming in the bay as August slowly crept along until the morning of August 27th, when Charles's young daughter started to show signs of illness. Very quickly, she got more and more ill, while other members of the household started coming down with the same thing. They called a doctor in who diagnosed everyone with the same illness, typhoid fever. Anything yet?
It's Typhoid Mary?
Typhoid fever is an infection caused by bacteria that is usually spread through water or food that has been contaminated by fecal matter. It begins with a headache and fever and progresses to bloody diarrhea, a full body rash, and an extreme fever, which for some would lead to death.
Is this like exorcism shit?
No.
Oh.
You're right. You already said it.
Oh, Typhoid Mary.
Yep.
Okay,
so
wait.
Yes, this...
Sorry.
What? You ruined the rest of the intro. No,
just kidding. Going. No, I'll interrupt you in a second. Because it's a long interruption.
No, well, you can say what you're going to say.
Oh, apparently they know who Jack the Ripper is.
What?
I forgot to tell you.
What?
Hold on, I can't find it.
Stop.
I'm not
stop,
kidding.
Stop.
Not kidding. It's been on the news.
What
Jack the Ripper
fuck?
Identified with DNA match.
Dun, dun. What?
Mm. Listen. Look.
Look. Listen.
Researcher claims to have identified the serial killer with 100% DNA match.
Oh.
Mm. Okay. Aaron Kosminski, a Polish barber. That's who apparently is.
What? So you're saying Sweeney Todd and Jack the Ripper are the Sweeney same Todd. Person? Tell the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
His face was weird and his legs were odd. I don't remember the words.
I don't remember.
Wait. So, okay, because you know Sweeney Todd was never a real person?
Yeah.
But now it kind of seems like Sweeney Todd is based off Jack the Ripper.
I know.
I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. And it turns out he actually was a barber.
Yeah.
So someone knew. The playwright.
I feel like he already, had to have been like a barber, a surgeon barber. Because
he had to be a surgeon though, not a barber.
Surgeon barber.
Oh.
Barber surgeon.
Sorry. What? So they cut your hair and cut you open? I don't get it.
In those days, quote, this is from people.com. Quote, in those days you had to have anatomical knowledge as a barber. End quote. I mean, that's not the full quote, but like you had like they were called barber surgeons.
What, like a hairdresser barber?
Yes.
What the hell? Okay.
Anyway, so
holy shit, this is breaking news.
Well, and apparently like Aaron Kosminski, who is thought to be Jack the Ripper, was considered a strong suspect in 1891.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Was he... How? Do you know why?
It just says that there was a document that named him as a strong suspect. Apparently he had strong homicidal tendencies, but I guess also, like, earlier in this article, this researcher... What's his... Hold on. Let me find this researcher's name. Russell Edwards is this researcher who believes that Aaron Kosminski is Jack the Ripper. So he's, like, a historian, but whatever. He says that he, like, Kosminski had or lived with schizophrenia and had, auditory and visual hallucinations and homicidal tendencies.
Wow.
Yeah. And so Russell Edwards, who he wrote a book as well titled Naming Jack the Ripper. And he thought Kosminski has been the killer. He claimed it over 10 years ago.
Wow.
And apparently they confirmed that Kosminski's DNA was on one of the victim Edo's shawl. Yeah. From her. Wow. Yeah, because there was like...
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy to be like... Also, it's interesting that you're bringing this up because one of the episodes I was listening to, the MFM episode, was about the children of the... Snow storm, children blizzard, children of the blizzard, the great blizzard of 1888. Oh. And that was the same year that Jack the Ripper was operational, and they were talking about it. And then I was thinking about how, like, would I know we said in the past, like, we would never cover Jack the Ripper, but then I was like, would I cover Jack the Ripper?
I feel like you could definitely do it.
It's big. I know. It's just that Morbid did such a good job that I'm like...
I know.
I would rather just send people there. Yeah. I know. It's like 8 parts or something.
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently there is DNA matched with direct descendants of the victim, Edo's, and then with Kosminski as well, with what was the DNA that was found on Edo's shawl.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so wild. That's like, yeah,
so
150 years later, they're able to use DNA from a crime scene.
Yeah, literally. What?
Like, whew. Wow.
So, yeah, that
can finally be put to rest.
Well, yeah, some people still have doubts.
The DNA is 100% match.
I don't know, man. Maybe we need to... Oh, well, those are just a couple articles, but... Yeah. When I saw it the other day, I was like, I scrolled past it. I was like, yeah, right. And then I was like, DNA. It keeps
showing up, yeah. If it keeps showing up and more people are talking about it, I feel like it's probably
something. Anyway, Jack the Ripper.
Okay, so, well, now we're going to go back to...
Yeah.
So, we're talking about typhoid fever. Thanks for going through that little interruption with us. Unfortunately for the Warrens, a vaccine for typhoid fever wasn't discovered until 1911, and antibiotics wouldn't be discovered until 1949, another 43 years later. So Charles and the doctor did all they could to help those who were ill in the house. In total, 6 of the 11 people staying at the house became ill, the first daughter followed by her sister, her mother, the gardener, and 2 maids. The Warren family were not thought to be the type to catch typhoid.
Ooh.
It was, after all, an illness of the poor and the dirty, and Oyster Bay was an affluent, well-to-do area that only hosted people who were wealthy and their servants, of course. So having their family and servants get sick was embarrassing, not to mention deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, there was now concern that the town of Oyster Bay would become much less desirable if it was noted as having a disease spreading through its elite. Of course, we know that illness does not discriminate.
No.
But people of the time just thought that typhoid was associated with being a dirty person.
Right.
Which, like, I kind of get that. Yeah, in a way.
Yeah, you can see the string.
Yeah, because it's like, if you're not washing your hands after you're pooping,
yeah,
that's how you get people sick and yourself sick.
Yeah.
So, I get it. But, like, people who live in poverty aren't dirty inherently. So, no. That's the part where it's like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you can be rich and you can be fucking disgusting. The owner of the home, George Thompson, was worried that the area water source was contaminated with typhoid, and that's why people were getting sick. And because of this, he was worried that he wouldn't be able to rent out the house anymore to the wealthy people who usually stayed there. That's his main concern. Yeah. And so, George looked for a professional to get to the bottom of things. The person he ended up hiring was Dr. George Soper. However,
Soper?
Yeah. Soper? That's what I thought too, like soap. It's kind of ironic because it's typhoid.
Oh no.
But it's S-O-P-E-R.
You still pronounce it Soper.
Yeah. Soapy Soper.
Soppy.
He wasn't actually a doctor or a medicine professional or an investigator at all.
Who
he
was this man?
Simply a sanitary engineer.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna accept that?
A sanitary engineer?
Yeah. But he's not a doctor. I guess. He was hired for the right reasons, but then, like...
But then they were like, you're kind also of out a doctor. Of control. And he was like, okay.
You'll see how it gets out of control.
Okay.
One newspaper of the time called him a doctor of 6 cities. Regardless. Which, like, yeah, I guess. Soper was put on the case of whatever the hell was happening in Oyster Bay. At first, he thought it was the freshwater clams that were being sold by an old woman who lived on the beach.
Because,
of course, they're going to blame old women who are just trying to make a living.
Right.
However, no one else who ate the clams got sick, so this was immediately ruled out.
Great.
All areas were checked. The drinking water, the single indoor toilet, the cesspool, the manure pit, and the outhouse. They were all cleared from having the bacteria that causes typhoid.
But how did they know back then?
They just look at it under a microscope.
Oh, wait. Sorry. What year is this? Oh, 1906.
It's not actually that long ago.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Got it.
So... Yeah, whatever kind of, like, lab test shit, then maybe not even a microscope, maybe they, I don't know.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah.
That something. Yeah. Listen, scientists.
Help.
Look, we're not scientists. Okay. We're just 2 girlies with a podcast we're not qualified for. So you can't let you us tell? Know. Why don't you just let us know
let
how
us
it
know.
Works? Because I don't know.
Well, now it's probably just tests.
Yeah, but, like, what test? I know, you can probably, listen, you're probably listening to this. You know who you are. Just Google it. I don't care. Just Google, how do they test for typhoid? And you're going to have, like, over 1 million hits on Google. So just figure it out. But I'm not going to look it up right now. I'll leave it in your...
Yeah.
This is called independent student learning.
Great.
So Soper is stumped.
Hmm.
Because, of course, he's not a medical doctor. But
yeah.
Until he hears from the Warrens that they had actually hired a new cook at the beginning of August named Mary Mallon. More significantly, the cook had disappeared without notice or explanation a few weeks after the sicknesses had begun. So, who is Mary Mallon? Mary was born in County Tyrone, which was one of the poorest areas of Northern Ireland, on September 23rd in 1869. She left for the U.S. when she was only 14 or 15 years old.
Whoa.
And once she got here, she settled in with family members and started trying to, you know, make it in the right. big cities, wherever she was. There's not much known about her, honestly.
Classic.
Eventually, she found work as a domestic servant, as you do, and in 1900, she figured out that she was actually an amazing cook, and, like, yeah. other people around her were like, whoa, right. you're an amazing cook. So between 1900 and 1907, she ended up working for 8 different families.
Wow.
Circling back to 1906, as mentioned, Mary had been hired on for the Warrens to be their cook at their summer home, and now she was missing after several people had gotten ill.
Mm-hmm.
Soper wanted to get to the bottom of this. He's officially attached to the story, and he's not stopping until he gets the story under his control. He goes to the New York Employment Agency to find some trail of Mary Mallon. He's like, I must be able to trace her,
mm-hmm.
which he ended up being successful Paper in trail. Doing. Yep. He discovered the following, quote, following her trail backward to cases in 1904, I found she had worked at the home of Henry Gilsey at Sands Point, Long Island, where 4 of 7 servants suddenly got the disease. Going back still further, I found that 5 weeks after Mary had gone to cook at the summer home of J. Coleman Drayton at Dark Harbor, Maine, in 1902, 7 out of 9 persons in the house contracted typhoid, and so did a trained nurse and a woman who came to the house to work by the day. There had been an outbreak of the disease in New York in 1901, and I had reason to believe that Mary was behind this. So he's blaming her Shit. For an entire outbreak of typhoid.
Right.
In 1904, Tuxedo Park, the fashionable summer resort, was stricken, and I discovered she had cooked there in that time. End quote.
Okay.
So somehow, reports had reached Soper that Mary was cooking for a family who lived on Manhattan's Park Avenue in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon, there ended up being 2 cases of typhoid fever in this home. One servant and the only family daughter, who unfortunately ended up dying very quickly from it.
Oh no.
Because people die from the really extreme fever, right?
Right.
So like young, mm-hmm. or immunocompromised,
mm-hmm.
elderly people.
Right.
Soper shows up at this house unannounced. Oh. He's just like, what well, up? Shit, I know where Mary is. So I'm gonna just go to her.
Hey, Mary.
And he knocks on the door. Yeah.
You're killing people.
Literally, yeah. So Mary answers the door. She lets him in, even though she doesn't know him at all. Yeah. Or she's like, what do you want, essentially?
Yeah, hello,
and
sir.
And Soper tries to explain to her that she's been getting people sick with typhoid, and she might be sick herself, and that people are dying, and that he needs to collect fluids from her. Oh. So he wants her urine, feces, and blood.
Okay, sir. Sure. I'll give that to you right now.
Exactly. Yes. So Mary's like, who are you? And she just kind of like gives him a look. Like, what yeah. the fuck? And she grabs a carving knife. Like, I don't know.
No.
I think that maybe they're in the kitchen or something. And then she lunges at Soper with the knife.
What the fuck?
And so Soper starts running out of the home and onto the sidewalk. And that's where he sees, like, Mary just slam the door shut behind him as he falls out of the house, essentially.
She's like, you want my blood?
Yeah, exactly.
That's scary.
Yeah. People think she probably had this outburst due to trauma of living in a place that was super anti-Irish and anti-Catholic at the time.
Oh.
So she's kind of just protecting herself.
Right.
This is a very kind of, like, light... not even history, but essentially Irish people were condemned as taking jobs from Americans, quote unquote, even though they actually weren't, you know, classic immigrant story. Classic Americans and Canadians blaming immigrants for taking jobs. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, Irish people's homes and churches were burned or destroyed. So, Mary has...
It's like time relives itself and nothing has changed.
Yep. Always.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So, like, probably don't lunge at people with knives, but also I kind of get where she was coming from.
Yeah.
Soper knew exactly what Mary served earlier, like, in the Manhattan house that she was working at that made everyone sick.
Oh.
He figured out it was ice cream with fresh peaches. Because cooking destroys bacteria, but uncooked things... So, like, the peaches mixed with unwashed hands was not a good equation.
Right.
Also, it's kind of interesting because they just all... Everyone assumes in the story that Mary, like, wasn't washing her hands.
Right.
Or didn't know how.
Right.
But there's no, like, remarks on that or evidence of if she was or if she wasn't.
Right.
Like, I've heard some sources say that she said she wasn't and she wasn't going to start.
Right.
But I did not find that.
Okay. So who knows? It's a big mystery.
It's a mystery. It just seems like the story ends up really being more about Soper and, like, how she was caught and not really about her. Like, no one was really talking about what she felt.
Right.
Until, the very end.
Right.
So it's a little fucked up. So Soper knew that people could pass bacteria onto others through various fluids, but since there was no record of her ever being sick, this was a strange new thing for him to understand. A while later, one day after Mary's work, Soper decides to follow her home. He sees...
So creepy.
I know. He's being a creep, yeah. He sees that she stops at her boyfriend's house, whose name is August Brioff. Brioff is an ex-cop that likes to just hang around and drink at the saloon. He doesn't really do much. Mm-hmm. He just kind of hangs out while Mary's off working.
Right.
And paying for everything, probably.
Right, yeah.
Somehow in this short time frame, Soper learns about Brioff, follows him to the saloon, and decides to befriend this man in order to get to Mary. Soper stated, "I got well acquainted with him. He took me to see his room. I should not care to see another like it. It was a place of dirt and disorder."
I mean, he's not working. I don't know what you expect. He's probably really poor.
Yeah. But also, again, you don't have to be... Just because you're poor doesn't mean you're dirty.
Yeah.
Like, also, though, maybe just, like, I don't know, a man living on their own.
Yeah.
No offense.
Sorry, but
sorry, that's not sorry.
How it is most
sometimes.
Of the time.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Soper waits for her, for Mary. So, okay. Sorry. Let me rewind a bit. He gets acquainted with Brioff.
Yeah.
He goes to Brioff's house, and then he's like, "I'm just going to hang out here until Mary comes by." So he is waiting at Brioff's house. Mary eventually comes by, and she's like, "What do you want? Like, I already literally chased you away with a knife, but okay, what do you want from me? Like, stop following me." She knows that he wants fluids from her for this, like, test. Mm-hmm. But she just didn't want to give him anything.
Right.
So, yeah. She's like, "You can leave. Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you."
Right.
Still, Soper did not stop.
Okay.
He connected with the New York City Health Department, warning them that they might need to use force against Mary in order to collect things from her. So instead of sending Soper out again, the health department sends Josephine Baker to her, thinking that sending a woman instead of a man might work in their favor.
Right.
But again, Mary refuses to cooperate. The next day, so they send Josephine, she refuses to cooperate again. She's like, "Can people just leave me the fuck alone? I just don't believe that any of this is happening. Y'all are just making it up because I'm an Irish immigrant. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck off." Mm-hmm. So the next day, they send Dr. Baker and the police to her workplace.
Okay.
Mary answers the door, attempts to slam the door before they get in, but she couldn't. Mary tried to flee, but the police chased her around for 5 hours. When she was eventually brought to the hospital in a horse-drawn ambulance, even though she was adamant that she had done nothing wrong. In the ambulance ride,
oh my God.
Dr. Baker sat on her the entire way to restrain her, saying it was like being in a cage with an angry lion.
Yeah, you're holding her against her will, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're expecting her to do.
No, it doesn't feel very, like, legal either.
Yeah, but what did they even have? Were there even laws in the early 1900s? Not really.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, like, don't kill.
Yeah.
That's probably it. Don't steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. While in the hospital, Mary's fluids were tested repeatedly from March to November. So March,
what the fuck?
April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November for 9 months.
She was held there for 9 months?
For traces of the bacteria that causes typhoid. And she was tested 3 times a week. She actually ended up being held there, I think, for about 11 months or longer. I'll get to that.
Okay.
Most of these tests confirmed that Mary did, in fact, have the bacteria that causes typhoid in her system. But some of the tests came back negative.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure how true this is, but Soper apparently felt empathy for Mary. He realized that she wasn't getting people sick on purpose, and she herself was not sick, but they had to keep her under lock and key in the hospital.
Okay.
Soper suggested to her that she get her gallbladder removed, as apparently that might help with the source of the bacteria, but she actually just wouldn't talk to him.
Well,
she was like, I'm not going to fucking talk to you.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
why would she?
Yeah. From here, Mary was sent to quarantine on North Brother Island in 1907. So, directly from the hospital, she's sent to here.
Right.
This island is on the East River between the Bronx and Rikers Island. It was home to Riverside Hospital, which was built in 1885, specifically to keep patients away from the rest of the populace.
Is there... It haunted? No.
I was wondering.
Or abandoned?
Yes.
Yeah, it's abandoned,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, isn't there something to do with Rikers Island?
That's still functional.
But is it a prison?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought.
Oh, yes.
Like, that. There's a... It's called what? Just like... I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, Riverside is abandoned, haunted. You can't go there anymore. I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, so there is definitely a prison complex on Rikers Island.
Yes.
But it seems like maybe it doesn't really exist anymore.
What? Really?
I don't know.
Where have I been?
Oh, no. No. It still does.
What?
This is a crazy stat. As of January 13th, 2022, of the 5,548 people detained in New York City jails, including on Rikers Island and the boat, 82%, so 4,487 people, had not been convicted of a crime. So 82% of the people in the jails in New York have not been convicted of a crime. They're just like waiting for the system. Or waiting because they...
Get it together, New York. What the fuck? What the fuck?
This is a classic. Anyways,
ew, okay. Riverside.
Tangent. Riverside. Right. Yeah.
Riverside Hospital.
No. Oh, yeah. Riverside Hospital. Yep. That's where we are. So this hospital held patients who had tuberculosis, smallpox, yellow fever, and typhoid fever. Here, Mary had to give stool and urine samples 3 times a week for testing. And again, authorities suggested removing her gallbladder, but she refused.
Mm-hmm.
They often suggested removing other things as well. They were like, well, maybe you could try this. Maybe you could try this. Maybe you could try this.
Just take all of your organs out. Why don't you?
Literally.
Like, what?
So that made them extremely untrustworthy in Mary's eyes. So because she continuously declined.
She would have just died from the surgery. She probably would have just gotten an infection.
Probably. Yeah. She's like, don't steal my stuff in my body. Thank you. Now bring back in Soper. He wanted to write a book about Mary.
Right.
So she's locked up in this hospital.
Oh my God.
He comes by and he's like, can I write this book about you? And rightfully, she's pissed off.
Like, leave her the fuck alone, Soper.
Yeah. And he wanted to apparently know how many times she had caused a typhoid outbreak. And she's like, I don't want to talk about this with you. And she just ignores him. Yeah. And she actually gets up and just locks herself in the bathroom until he leaves.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is a quote from Mary. It said, I wonder how the said Dr. William Park would like to be insulted and put in the journal and call him or his wife Typhoid William Park.
Get him.
Yeah. So that maybe I should state too, sorry, that was a little bit of an out of the blue quote, but that was in relation to like obviously one of the doctors that was on her case and kind of started the name of like calling her Typhoid Mary.
Right.
She wanted to prove that she didn't have typhoid because of course she never felt it.
Right.
She's sus of everybody.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'm just trying to live my life. But also, I wonder why then, like, why every time someone got sick, she just left.
Yeah, I was that part thinking is a little that bit, too. Like, the previous house she worked at, like, they got sick and she just left right away. I was like, okay.
I know. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, did she actually maybe know?
We don't know.
Like, I feel like the first time, it's like, oh, the people I work for, yeah, they got typhoid, so I left because I don't want to get sick. The second time, it's like, oh, that's a weird coincidence. But if it happens more than that, come on, Mary. You can use your brain.
I know.
You have a brain.
I know.
She's probably intelligent.
But it's also the time when, like, science was pretty, like, being like, what? There are things that exist that we can't see with our eyes.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, in that world. I feel like it is a little confusing still. But yeah, I agree. I know. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little sus for sure.
Yeah. So Mary gets, she's like, I don't have typhoid. I'm going to get an independent lab to test my samples. She gets her boyfriend, Brioff, who would ferry to the island, to collect her samples and bring them to an indie lab. All of these samples would come back negative for typhoid. Here's the thing, though.
Right.
They could have been wrong because maybe they were old samples, like it's being traveled. They could have been mistaken in the lab.
Yeah.
And we know from her previous samples that it wasn't present in every sample.
Yeah.
However,
it was once in a while.
Yeah. To Mary, this confirmed that doctors were making up lies to ruin her lives.
Mm-hmm.
Lives. Her multiple lives. It was another 11 months after this, so at this point it had been like almost 2 years, before Mary made a deal with the health department.
Deal with the devil.
And she was officially released from hospital in 1910. Here was the deal. Damn. She could be free so long as she checked in with them every 3 months, and she never cooked for others ever, ever, ever again.
Right.
Mary agreed, was released, and promptly disappeared.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. She never checked in.
No.
She tried to sue the health department.
Slay queen.
The case actually got thrown out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Classic justice.
Mary, she did try other jobs in other professions. She tried laundering. She tried, you know, other domestic servant tasks. But eventually she went back to cooking as she paid more and she really loved it.
Right.
Officially, Soper was off the case. But, of course, since he's a creep, he kept an eye on her. Also around this time, Mary's boyfriend, Brioff, ended up dying from heart complications, which further made Mary untrust the medical system. Because he was, like, having complications, and then she was like, okay, let's take you to the hospital, and he died in hospital. So she's like, I don't, what the hell?
That's really upsetting.
Yeah, and she said, fuck it, I don't care. And went back to doing what she loved, which was cooking.
Right.
Through this time, Mary used pseudonyms such as Mrs. Brown and Mary Breshoff, or Marie Breshoff,
Okay.
Working at fancy hotels and a sanatorium in New Jersey, a hotel in Southampton, and a restaurant in Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to know how many cases Mary created, but there's also no record that stated that Mary ever believed she was to blame for any of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
She was, in fact, the first person ever that was asymptomatic to be studied.
Right.
So, of course, there have been asymptomatic people forever, but she was the first one to really be studied.
Right.
Mary thought authorities were using her as a scapegoat in connection to the outbreak of typhoid. And she never believed she was doing any harm when she went back to cooking. So she just kept cooking and doing her thing and using her pseudonyms and hiding from the health department. However,
That's pretty fucking crazy, actually.
I know.
Mary, come on.
I know.
Like, I
But she just never thought.
I get it. I know. I get it.
Somehow.
Damn.
Yeah. 5 years later, Dr. Edward B. Cragen approached Soper again. The doctor was the obstetrician at Sloan Hospital for Women. At this hospital, 20 people had fallen ill from typhoid, and so he asked Soper if he could help figure out what was going on.
Right.
Soper went to the hospital and did some checks. He was, like, investigating, doing his whatever sanitation engineering bullshit. And while he was in the kitchen, he saw a recipe on the counter that was in Mary's handwriting. Apparently, he could immediately tell her writing because she wrote him many, many letters.
Like angry ones.
Yeah. Trying to be like when she was in the hospital for the first time, trying to be like, I hate you so much.
Right.
And leave me alone.
Right.
That's probably what she said.
Fuck you, Soper.
Fuck you. Soper turned to Dr. Cragen and said, I know exactly what's going on here. So I'm not exactly sure how it went down. There's not a lot of record around it. But Soper called the police and they arrested Mary, who did not put up a fight at this time. She just let them take her away.
Okay.
Mary was sent into quarantine again on the same island. She lived alone in a cottage on the hospital grounds and she was often still tested for typhoid. But she kept herself busy. She did knitting. She did... You know, she just hung out.
Yeah, she did.
She kept herself busy.
She did her thing.
Yeah, and she also eventually was trained by some people who worked in the hospital, and she was able to work in, like, the labs that were on the hospital grounds as well. So, you know, but she wasn't a free woman.
No.
So that was kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
At this point, Mary finally admitted to herself that typhoid did perhaps follow her wherever she went.
Mm.
She settled into her confinement, and she was also actually allowed to head into the city whenever she wanted.
Right, because it's not like she's doing anything.
Yeah, but, well, it's kind of interesting, like, that they would let her go, because she could just run away.
Yeah.
But she always came back.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like, she just... decided, like, I guess this is my home. I don't really have to pay for anything. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and she doesn't have to share. Like, she gets her own cottage. So, I mean, that's kind of a silver lining.
Yeah. So, there's some personal letters of Mary's that were found. The very first time that she was arrested and confined to the hospital, she was so distraught that she ended up developing an eye twitch.
Whoa.
From the stress that led to paralysis in that eye.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Yeah. She wrote of doctors who said, which we kind of talked about earlier, who said that she needed her gallbladder removed.
Yeah.
Even though they actually admitted that it might not make a difference at all. And she also wrote this. I'm a little afraid of the people. I've been, in fact, a peep show for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even the interns had come to see me and ask about the facts that were already known to the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
The tuberculosis men would say, there she is, the kidnapped woman. And Dr. Park had me illustrated in Chicago.
Mm.
So that same, like, the William Park guy. So overall, Mary was credited as directly infecting around 50 people. Even being labeled as patient zero of a 1907 outbreak, which escalated to 3,000 cases.
Mm-hmm.
However, she was not the only one. There were 400 other people in New York alone who were healthy carriers of typhoid fever.
Damn.
In 2013, there were studies that were done at Stanford University, which yielded insight into how bacteria could infect a person without making them ill, leading to treatment that could potentially block bacteria from being transferred and killing people.
Right, okay.
Mary was linked overall to the infection of 122 people, with 5 of those people dying from the disease.
Wow.
On December 25th, 1932, Mary died from a stroke. Aww. She was found paralyzed on the floor of her cottage on the hospital grounds.
Damn. Poor
Mary. I know. No one in her family, which was a very small family, ever claimed the money that was left after she passed.
Oh, wow.
And only 9 people came to her funeral.
Oh.
Yeah. Some claim the autopsy revealed that she had a super high concentration of bacteria in her gallbladder.
Mm.
However, others state that this was just used to, like, validate her confinement at the hospital.
Yeah.
Here is an interesting thing. While Mary was living on North Brother Island, there was another carrier of typhoid living and working in New York named Tony LaBella.
Mm.
Tony LaBella was a farm worker who was asymptomatic, and the Department of Health had forbid him from dealing with food, of course. However, he ignored this.
Yeah, okay.
He is linked to 87 cases, with 2 people dying, so almost as much as Mary.
Yeah.
He eventually left New York and went to New Jersey, causing 35 more cases and 3 more deaths. So actually, the same amount as Mary.
Yeah.
He was held in isolation for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But then he was released and was able to just live his life freely. Because they said he's the man of the house and he needs to take care of his family. I know. Sarah's giving me a big eye roll. It's so fucked. It's so fucked. There was also another man who worked in bakeries and restaurants. He was told to not handle food, but he did it anyway. Which is a bakery, like, that's terrible, because that's not even being cooked. Like, you're dealing with it afterward, usually.
Yeah.
He was caught making a strawberry shortcake, and he was brought before a judge. However, the judge said that he couldn't send him to jail, and so he would leave it up to the Department of Health.
What?
He was never forced to live in any form of isolation, either. Meanwhile, literally meanwhile, Mary is forced for the rest of her life to live at the Riverside Hospital.
Oh my god, I hate men.
Yeah. So,
sorry guys, but I hate men. I hate them. I hate them. I actually am so mad.
I'm mad so at, mad. Like, the societal situation that this
That's
has caused.
That's so disgusting.
I know, it's really
That's
fucked
so
up.
1900s.
Yeah. Mary was the only person that was ever treated in the way that she was treated. So every time you give your hands a wash, give a little nod and remembrance to Mary. Just a girly who had the spirit of cooking, maybe a little too much. And that is the case of typhoid Mary.
Damn. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Poor
I know.
Mary. Poor Mary.
It's also interesting because, like, when I've heard this story before, I think the first time I heard it was on MFM.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, me too, probably.
And I remember it was very much, like, more, not, I don't know, more blamey, I think.
Yeah.
And more, like, Mary knew what she was doing.
Yeah. Like, she was a killer. And that's how she killed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. But I don't know. I don't know if she was. Like, the way that I understand the story now and the way it's painted, I actually watched Bailey Sarian, Dark History, her episode on Typhoid Mary, which actually came out not that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, a few months ago. And it was more in this kind of vein and less, like, she knew what she was doing kind of vein.
Right.
So, I don't know. If you're interested, go check that out. Big shout out, Bailey Sarian. We do love her, too.
Yes.
So much. I remember watching her when she only had, like, 30,000 subscribers.
Yeah, and now she's so massive.
9.7 million.
She's
almost at 10
oh my
million.
God.
I know. That's like more. That's a lot. I think that's probably more than MFM. Maybe not. But maybe.
I don't know. Damn.
Yeah. We're only at. We still haven't got to our 1,000 listener mark.
Listen, we have like 50 followers on Spotify, so.
That's actually kind of amazing.
Like 55.
What? So. Okay, the 55 of you that keep coming back to this crazy.
That's just Spotify. I haven't checked Apple in a while.
Mm.
Yeah.
This crazy, wily time.
Yeah.
That is not that well done and chaotic. We really thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming back, and obviously you like what we're saying, so
yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah, and we hope you what
stay warm and safe and
wash your hands.
Springtime, and wash your freaking hands.
We hope you wash your hands.
Yeah, yeah, wash your hands.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Love you,
and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or corrections, that's a QCCC.
QCC.
QCCC. You can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can DM us on Instagram at
ghoulsocietypod.
You can... What else can you do? Oh, for any of the resources that we use, the episode's description or trigger warnings, you can find it in the show notes of each episode.
Yes.
And...
That's it!
That's it.
Woo! Okay,
get out of here.
Okay, bye!
Bye! So guess what? I was listening to MFM this morning, finally going back to my roots.
Uh-huh.
And something, they said something, and then I was like, I have to tell Sarah. And then what is it? I forgot.
What? Okay.
I fully forgot, so I'm sorry.
Oh, you forgot what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's fine.
I really don't know. You want to close the door?
Okay.
Okay. There you go. There she blows. I want to do another lighthouse episode. Yes. I want to do a boat episode.
Yeah, like a pirate ship.
Yeah, like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dead pirates?
Dead pirate. Ooh, actually, yeah.
Yeah, hold on.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd. His eyes were big and his mouth was odd. For Sweeney Todd. The demon barber of Fleet Street. We're a mess today. This is a disaster. This is going bad. This is going really bad.
We have like 7 hours of sleep. I don't know what